The following sermon is by Pastor Marco De Felice. You can find other sermons and materials by Pastor Marco and find out more about his ministry by visiting www.veravitaministries.org. That's www.veravitaministries, all one word, .org.
I am, like I pray, many, 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 many of you, I'm a trophy of God's grace. And I simply want to ask that He will help us to see more of Jesus Christ this morning. Father, thank You that we can come to worship You. Lord, we could never do that if it were not for Jesus Christ, our great High Priest. We would not want to do that if You'd not put it in our hearts. And so now I pray that You would show us more of Christ. Those of us who know Him, that You have already called from darkness into Your marvelous light, may we see more of Your glory in His face. And those that do not see that light and have not embraced it, oh, they may they see more of it too. So, Lord, we commit this hour unto You. May it be for Your glory and for our good and all of this through and the merits of the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. What is a treasure? What's a treasure? Have any of you ever seen a picture of a drawing, a picture of a large chest, a pirate's chest, flung open with gold and jewels and pearls pouring out? Have you ever seen a picture like that? In Italy, advertisements which are offering prizes often use that picture. And in fact, in the world, among those people who are lost in darkness and are on their way to eternal torment and wailing and never-ending pain and destruction, for most of those people, the number one treasure is material things. But what is a treasure? I just used the word treasure, but what is a treasure? Think about this. What is a treasure? Above all, a treasure is where you seek your satisfaction. You may or may not ever obtain your treasure. You might obtain it, you might not. But it is what you work for, if that's possible, you dream of. It's that to which you aspire. It repeatedly comes to your thoughts. It's what you want to talk about. It may or may not have any real value, but it's what is important to you. Today I want to consider a biblical passage which most of us probably know by heart, but we may not have really applied it to our lives. And I pray that God would grant us to see and live the truth of this passage so that we can know and have the true treasure. Now consider with me some of the things which people consider treasures. As I've already mentioned, material things are a treasure for many people. That might be a job which pays a little bit more. It might be a little bit nicer car. It might be a little $20 or $40 gadget. It might be a large home. It might be just a quiet home. It really doesn't matter. These are all examples of material things which one can have as a treasure, whether they ever get them or not. Other people have different treasures. A very common treasure today is approval from man, and not just today. In fact, we work to obtain that treasure in many ways. It might be the car you drive, it might be looks, it might be getting good grades, it might be being cool and not studying. Some people can try to get approval of man by working harder than anybody else in the ministry of God. So it might be doing something very good, but the purpose is to gain the treasure of approval from man. For yet other people, the treasure might be feeling in control, and that's their treasure. It might be having fun. It might be doing what you like, playing video games, being on the internet, watching TV, being with friends. It might be feeling like a success. It might be simply having a life. You don't want a lot of things. You don't care what people think. You just don't want a lot of problems. And for many people, that's where they seek their satisfaction. Some people have treasures which we would, earthly, we would all say, now that's a high goal. And some people are satisfied with little daily trinkets. Just having fun, just messing around on the internet or doing a video game, something that it just fills you for the moment and then it's gone. But whether your treasure is big or small, whether it's the same year after year, or whether it changes every day or week, everyone has a treasure, that in which they seek their satisfaction. And whatever your treasure is, and my treasure is, it will determine the daily and the eternal choices you make. This is true whether it's clearly defined and you know exactly what it is, or whether you don't consciously even recognize it. Your treasure will determine the choices you make each day. I want to repeat this because it's extremely important to understand and to keep in mind. Your treasure will determine the choices which you make every day. Those choices will form your life and your character. And that will be the basis upon how we're judged, not for our salvation if we're believers, but on how we've lived that life. What have we built on the foundation of Jesus Christ alone? So now I want to ask a question. How do you recognize what your treasure is? How do you recognize what it really is? Because many times it's not what we say it is. We know the right answers. If I want approval from men, and if the men are believers, then I know the right things to say. I grew up in church. I know all the right answers. In a limited degree. And so if my treasure is looking good in Christian circles, obviously if you ask for my treasure, I can give you great answers. But how do I know my heart, which is wickedly deceitful, and know what my treasure really is? Well, let me ask you some questions which can help us to recognize our treasure. What do you think about when you have free time? What gets you excited? What do you like to talk about when you see somebody? What do you spend yourself for? What gives you the most satisfaction? And one more question. What gets you upset? What gets you upset? In fact, one of the best ways to recognize that which is truly your treasure is to consider that which upsets you. If something is not important to you, you won't get upset if something happens to it. If you're hindered from having it or being it or obtaining it. If it is your treasure, it will upset you greatly. For instance, if a man has as his treasure a car, and that car gets scratched up, it will upset him greatly. He'll walk out and see that somebody has scratched the side of his car, and it'll greatly upset him. If it's not his treasure at all, he'll walk up and he'll see a scratch, and he'll check it, and he'll get in and drive off. If a woman considers looking good as her treasure, if something happens and she can't look good according to her yardstick of good, it will make her feel uncomfortable in front of others. And she'll have difficulty thinking about them because she'll be thinking about how they see her. If looks is not a treasure at all, if something happens and she's got a big spot of ketchup right on her top as she goes in, you know, how are you? How are you doing? What have you been reading? Let me share some things that God, it's not going to be an issue. If a person in Italy, we've got friends who love running, and if something hinders them running, it's a major upset. If a student has as a treasure being the best in the class, and he gets second or third best, it'll upset him. Our treasure either gets us excited or gets us upset. We feel a certain satisfaction when we can get hold of it. We can also recognize our treasure as that which we enjoy spending time on, thinking about, and investing in. It's that which we dedicate ourselves to most willingly. So now let me go back to my question. What is your treasure? What is your treasure? Now think about the answer to that. May God grant us to see it. And now, let me ask you, is your treasure something which will last for your entire life? And onward, or will you lose it? If you have a treasure which you will lose, if you have a treasure which you will lose, your heart can never be satisfied in that treasure. Because no matter, you might have it fully today, but you don't know you're going to have it tomorrow. We've known different people and known of many situations where couples have gone to bed at night and they've woken up in the morning and one has been dead in the bed. You can have your treasure today. You never know if you're going to have it tonight. So your heart can never be satisfied because you know that what you have, it can be taken from you. Now turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 6, 19 to 21. This passage is part of what we call the Sermon on the Mount, which is one of the most in-depth teachings which Jesus gave us. We probably mostly all know this by heart, and I pray today that our hearts will be open to understanding and living it out. Matthew 6, 19 to 21, I've got the New King James. Our Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He's speaking to every one of us in this room. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I'm going to reread that. Just think on what he's telling us. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Very, very simply, Jesus gives us two commandments and then a very important truth which relates to them. First of all, Jesus commands us. He does not suggest, he commands us, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. In other words, do not accumulate for yourselves. Do not seek your satisfaction in anything on this earth. And he tells us that earthly treasures will be lost. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Lay up means to store up in its most direct sense. It implies a conscious effort to lay up, like a squirrel lays up nuts for the winter. It means setting your heart on that and working to obtain it. It might be a relationship. It might be something material. It might be looking good. It might be keeping in shape. It might be the approval of men, which you work at laying up in many ways. But laying up as a treasure means working to try to obtain that, to try to achieve that, to try to be that. And Jesus commands us not to lay up treasures on the earth. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. After he commands us not to lay up treasures on earth, he explains why. And he tells us that every earthly treasure will be lost. He lists several ways in which material treasures can be lost. This is not an exhaustive list. It's a principle in a list, and it shows us that earthly treasures will be lost. I thank God for my wife and our marriage. It is a gift from God, but it will end. Children are called by God to grow up in the home, and then they leave and cleave, and that daily relationship ends. All treasures on earth will end. The ones that are wonderful and pure and gifts from God, and the ones that we seek for ourselves that aren't. Ministry ends. Physical beauty, strength, approval of men, all that will end. Whatever you have as a treasure on the earth will end. And Jesus says, therefore, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on this earth. And I urge you to recognize this truth. And so that you and I will recognize the foolishness of striving to obtain a treasure which we will certainly lose. Almost always when the Bible tells us to put off, to take away, to get out of our life this, it always almost virtually substitutes what we should put in its place over here. And so as usual, Christ here does that. He commands us to not lay up for ourselves treasures on the earth, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. A treasure in heaven lasts forever. There are no thieves. Things do not deteriorate. Things do not get old. Things do not rust. They're never damaged. There is no evil. There are no errors. And things will be perfect forever. This is what God tells us to strive to obtain, to uphold, to lay up, to store up for ourselves. This is what we should spend ourselves on. This is what we should aspire to. This is what we should desire every day. Did you notice that Jesus doesn't tell us here what the treasure is? He tells us to lay up a treasure in heaven, but he doesn't say in this passage what that is. So let me go to another passage. Let me read many passages, but one I want to read right now is Revelation 21, 2 and 3, where the Apostle John was allowed to see into heaven, and we see the treasure. Revelation 21, 2 and 3. These are words which no human could have written except that the Lord God deemed to reveal them to one of his servants for us. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." That is the heavenly treasure. The most wonderful, incredible, marvelous, heart-satisfying thing about heaven will be the presence of God himself with us. God himself is absolutely perfect. God never changes. God is eternal, and our total absolute joy in his presence will never diminish. He will satisfy our hearts infinitely, fully, and eternally. Only he can satisfy your heart today and forever. Think about the fact that every earthly treasure will be lost forever, and think about the fact that no earthly treasure can fully satisfy our hearts. Now think about the fact that only God in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ can satisfy your heart fully, and that having Christ as our treasure means a treasure that you never lose. And in the light of this, does it make sense to disobey Jesus' command to not lay up treasures on earth? Talk about foolishness. This, as all of God's commands, disobeying this command means living foolishly. And I pray that we will have the wisdom to obey Jesus Christ and lay up for ourselves Jesus Christ as our treasure, making him our treasure. And we're laying up that upcoming relationship of being with him forever. Now, making Jesus Christ your treasure is not simply a question of being saved. It means having Jesus Christ as your treasure in your heart, in your mind, in your life, in your thoughts, in your words. Serving God is not the same as having Jesus Christ as your treasure. Being faithful to the church is not the same as having Jesus Christ himself as your treasure. Teaching and preaching and being godly parents are all important, but they're not the same as having Jesus Christ as your treasure. Oh, that each one would have Jesus Christ as his treasure. This is a true treasure. And I pray that you will desire truly to have Jesus Christ as your treasure. And so that leads us to another question. How do we have Jesus Christ as a treasure? We're inundated with information, with things that call for our attention and for our hearts. We're drawn from inside, we're drawn from outside. How can we have Jesus Christ as our treasure truly? What does it mean in practice? Well, it doesn't mean being an expert in doctrine. it means taking truth and applying it to our lives. Because if we just know truth, we become cold and sterile. If our truth does not cause us to see more of Christ, it causes us to have puffed up heads and cold hearts. I thank God that it is extremely simple. It is not complicated what it means to having Jesus as a treasure. Human intelligence and great abilities are no help in having Jesus Christ as your treasure. They might be tools to do certain things that God might call you to do, but they are no help in having Jesus Christ as your treasure. So what must you do to truly lay up a treasure in heaven? What must you do to have Jesus Christ as your treasure? And the answer is very simple. You must keep your eyes and your heart upon Christ. You must not live for today. You must look forward to tomorrow, to that wonderful day when you will see Christ in His glory. Doing things for God, as important as that is not the same thing as having Jesus Christ as your treasure. Look with me in Luke 10, passage we all know. The well-known story of two sisters, two followers of Jesus Christ, one of whom had Jesus Christ as her treasure, Martha and Mary. Luke 10:38-42, Martha was dedicated to serving our Lord, but He was not her treasure yet. Let me read, verse 38-42. He is Jesus. Now it happened as they went that He, Jesus, entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached Him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but," catch these words, "one thing is needed. One thing is necessary. One thing matters, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken from her." Will our marriages be taken from us? Will our loved ones be taken from us? Will our ministries be taken from us? Will our health be taken from us? Will our material possessions be taken from us? Has Martha's ability to serve God, Christ physically, been taken from her? But Mary chose the one necessary thing which will never be taken from her. Mary understood that the key to the Christian life is to keep her eyes upon Jesus Christ. And how can we keep our eyes upon Jesus Christ? When He is not here, she looked literally into His face. We can't do that. So are we hindered? Praise God, no. And actually, it's not difficult and it's not complicated. Think with me of a little boy whose father works away. He travels. And sometimes he's gone a long time. And the little boy doesn't know when he's going to come home, because this is in the days when they didn't have cars, they didn't have telephones. But he knows he's coming home. And so the little boy is working on a project for his dad, and he's building a wonderful, wonderful present for his father. So every time he's got free time, where is he? He's in his room, cutting and gluing and pasting and cutting and sawing and sanding. He wants to make this for his father. Now, where are his thoughts? Where is his heart? It's not on the present. It's on that doorway. And as he's working, he keeps looking up, thinking he's going to walk in. He's going to walk in, and I'm going to run up to him, and I'm going to hug him, and I'm going to give him my present. Oh, I want to get it ready, because he's coming home. You know, he doesn't understand what his daddy does. He doesn't even understand calendars yet, but he knows his dad is coming, and he loves his father, and he can't wait to see him. And his mind is on his father's return, and that means he's constantly working to prepare this present that he wants to present to his father. The present is not his treasure. His father is. And in the very same way, the way to have Jesus Christ as our treasure is to focus on that wonderful moment. Literally, think on it daily. It might be today. We will see Him in His glory, and we will present to Him what we have prepared for Him. And you know, that's what the Apostle Paul did. I'm going to read, if you can want to look it up, 1 Thessalonians 2:19. Listen what the Apostle Paul says is his treasure, his crown, his hope. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. What is our hope? Him and his other co-workers. What is our hope? Our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? Paul is a little boy. The people that he evangelized and edified and taught and cared for and matured were the present that he was preparing to present to his Lord. And so he says, what is our hope and our joy and our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? Paul's treasure was not his ministry. It certainly wasn't material things or the approval of men. It wasn't in his immense knowledge. It was on seeing Jesus Christ and presenting to Jesus Christ, his Lord, his Savior, his King, what he had prepared for him as he waited for him daily. Those believers were the crown of Paul because they were his gift to Jesus Christ. To be presented to Jesus Christ on that wonderful day when we will stand before him and give an account of what we will do this afternoon. Paul spent himself on that which would give glory to Jesus Christ for all of eternity. He spent himself proclaiming the name of Christ to lost men and helping those that God saved to grow in Jesus Christ. And so because Paul lived with his eyes on the return of Christ, Paul laid up for himself a treasure in heaven. On the day of judgment, every true believer will be judged as to how we have lived our life on earth from our salvation onward. And if we have lived in such a way as to bear eternal fruit, that fruit will be our crown of righteousness and rejoicing, which we can lay at the feet of Christ. And if I understand correctly in Revelation 4, the 24 elders, we will cast our crowns at the feet of Christ, and we'll get them back to cast at His feet again for all of eternity. And I want the largest crown possible for my Lord, and whatever I have is not going to be large enough, because I've wasted days and years. Now, read 2 Timothy 4:8. Paul wrote this knowing that he was about to die. Paul wrote this knowing he was on the way to ending his race on this earth. And so Paul writes to his dear son in the faith, Timothy, and he says, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. What verb do we see in Matthew 6:19-21? Do not lay up for yourselves. Paul says, there is laid up for me, what? The crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. That day that I've been waiting for. And not to me only, but also to all, everyone who has loved His appearing. The crown of righteousness is available to every one of us if we love the appearing of Jesus Christ. The little boy loved the appearing of his father. He kept looking at the door. May we look eastward, not literally. May we look to the coming of Jesus Christ. And if we do, we've got a crown of righteousness laid up for us. And so the key, the simple key to having a treasure in heaven means loving the appearing of Jesus Christ, desiring Christ Himself, enjoying His fellowship here, but wanting more of Him than we'll ever have here. It means loving Christ more than any of the gifts He gives us here. Why seek and cling to treasures which will never satisfy our hearts and which we will certainly lose, when we can have Jesus Christ as our treasure? Who? Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ, the tender shepherd. Jesus Christ, the source of all wisdom and knowledge. Jesus Christ, who gave himself and had the power to lay down his life and take it up again, and gave himself for us, his sheep. There is no true satisfaction in the good blessings of God if we do not seek our satisfaction in God himself, in Jesus Christ. Let me read Psalm 73, 25-26, a wonderful Spirit-inspired prayer which reflects what we've seen in other passages so far. Psalm 73, 25 and 26. This is rhetoric. It means the answer is obvious. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart, and he is my portion forever. Can you say that? Can you say, as I have lived in these last 7 days, Lord, you are my portion and you alone? There is none and nothing on earth that I desire besides you. I cannot say that. I can say it more than I did say it, but I can't say it as much as I want to say it. And my prayer is, oh God, show me the foolishness of seeking any other treasure but you alone. My goal today is that each one of us would desire more of Christ and would see him more clearly as the only true treasure. Truly doing this takes a lifetime of meditating on Christ, actively aspiring to know him more and his attributes and his works and his person. I'm going to just run through a few of the attributes and works of Christ. This is not a sermon for that. There's no time for that. That takes life. And that's what we need to do every day. But I'm just going to mention a few. On our own, it would be eternally impossible to ever approach God. But we have the great high priest, Jesus Christ, who gives us free access to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Go look up sometime on your own Hebrews 4, 14-16. Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. But what does he do now? He lives for us to ever intercede for us as our mediator, the only mediator between God and man. Hebrews 7:25, Romans 8:33 and 34, 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6. Read all of John chapter 10 as one of many passages where we see many times in the Old Testament also, Jesus Christ as the good shepherd. Boy, we are sheep. In whatever trial or difficulty you find yourself, and we find ourselves at times in very deep waters, very painful waters, you can find wonderful comfort meditating on the precious truth that our Lord, Jesus Christ, never leaves us or forsakes us. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. God has given us many wonderful promises. Do you know that every promise has this yes in Jesus Christ? 2 Corinthians 1:20. The most incredible, heart-satisfying truth you can meditate on is the love of God in Jesus Christ for us, which you can see in a number of passages. I'll just suggest Romans 8:28 to the end of the chapter. When we consider the storms of life and our own propensity to sin, if our salvation depended upon our being faithful to God, we would be lost and without any hope. But we can rest in Christ because as the good shepherd, we are safe in his hands. I'll read to you John 10:28. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. This is just touching, barely upon a few of the incredible attributes and works of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can lay up a treasure of Christ by taking the time and committing ourselves. And there's so many things we do that keep us from having our hearts and mind filled with him so that we will love his appearing. So what do we do today? We stopped to simply reflect on today's reading, Matthew 6:19-21. We read it and we said, let's stop and let's think about what we just read. But my question is this: what are you going to do with the words of Jesus Christ? What am I going to do? God has again, as He does every time we open our hearts and go to Him, He has spoken to us today through His Word, and I pray that anything I've said has not hindered what He has said in His Word. What are we going to do with that? Where do we read? Our passage is in where? Matthew 6, which is part of the Sermon on the Mount, 5, 6, and 7. And what does Jesus Christ do at the end of 7? After He finishes His teaching, He says, any man who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man. Wickedly foolish, who built his house on the sand. The winds came, the rains beat down, the storms came, and great was the destruction of that house, that life. But any man, woman, or child who hears my words and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. And the storms came, the rain beat down, the winds blew, and the house stood firm. And I pray that we will not just hear, but we will be doers of the Word. And we will examine our lives and examine our eternities and recognize, Lord, show me my heart. Yes, when I talk, I don't talk about You. You're not my treasure. I talk about that. And when I think and dream, I dream about that. And that's what I strive for, and that's what I want, and whatever it is. Remember, we didn't look at the last part. I kept it for right now. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Is your heart rooted to this earth? Or is your heart grounded in heaven? Where is your heart? Your heart will be where your treasure is. If you have any treasure besides Jesus Christ, you will not grow in Christ, you will not love His appearing, and your treasure will be a snare which keeps you from treasuring Christ. Now remember, a treasure can be something sinful, and a treasure can be something which is a gift from God. Money is not a sin. Love of money is, but not money. Family is a gift from God. Either one could be an idol. Serving God according to our gifts is a wonderful thing that we should all do, but it should never be our treasure. If you recognize today, and I urge you to go home and examine yourselves, and if you're a husband and wife, talk to each other. What do I talk about? What gets me upset, honey? Well, to be honest with you, if you have a treasure which is not necessary, if your treasure, be careful, Jesus only told the rich young ruler to sell everything he had because that was his treasure. If your treasure is your car, and for most people it's not, but if it is, sell it and get a junker. Now, I'm not suggesting necessarily you do that, but it might be something to consider. If your treasure is looking good, buy some gunny sacks and wear those and till you get over it, and then start looking nice. If your treasure is some material possession, you might want to trade it in for something of lesser value. And that's if it's your treasure. But sometimes our treasure are things you can't get rid of. If my ministry is my treasure, if my marriage is my treasure, if my parenting is my treasure, God does not intend for me to get rid of those things. But He intends for me to change my heart and not see Him as my treasure. To have Christ as our treasure, we need each other. We need to talk to each other about Jesus Christ. We need to spur each other on to see more of Christ. We need to recognize, helping each other recognize more of His greatness and the depth of His love for us. We need to help each other to see and marvel at His mercy and wonder at His grace. We need to help each other to be overwhelmed by His forgiveness. We need to help each other see more of His glory and desire His return more and more. I urge you to fix your eyes and your hearts upon Jesus Christ and to help others do the same. I urge you to seek out those who have their eyes and hearts more fixed on Christ than you do so that you can grow in your own love of Him. May God grant us to recognize the foolishness, sinfulness, and the wickedness of having treasures of things on this earth, even if they're good things that we can enjoy. Lay up for yourself a treasure in heaven. Fix your heart upon Jesus Christ. Long for and love His appearing and hasten it. Let me close by reading the words of the Apostle Paul. We all know these. Philippians 3, 7 to 14. And I pray that this would be the heart and the treasure of every true believer. For this is fruit of true salvation. What things were gained to me? And we could very correctly say were treasure to me. What things were gained to me? These things I have counted for loss. Why? For Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss. Why? For the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. And that's not head knowledge. That's relational, experiential knowledge. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And I count them as rubbish. Why? That I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Why? That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may obtain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. What? What did Jesus say to Martha about Mary? One thing is necessary. One thing is needful. One thing is important, Martha, and Mary has chosen it, and so did Paul. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, which were my treasure, and reaching, straining forward to those things which are ahead, I press forward toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Oh, Father, that we can call You Father, that we who were children of wrath can freely come into Your holy presence freely. Grant us to understand the wonder of this free access. Grant us to understand the infinite incredibleness of being able to truly call You Father, because we are truly in Christ Your children. Grant us to see more of Jesus Christ. Grant us to see that earthly gifts are to enjoy but not to take our heart from the giver. Grant us to recognize where it is and in what areas we're seeking to lay up earthly treasures which we'll lose forever. Grant us to see where we have raised up things in place of Jesus Christ and have taken parts of our heart and filled them with that which can never satisfy them. Grant us to strain forward as Paul did, forgetting that which was behind, and to help one another, longing for and loving the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in a right way, yes, enjoying Your wonderful care and grace and gifts, enjoying one another and using all things for Your glory. Lord, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your spirit. Use both to show us more of Christ. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
The preceding sermon was by Pastor Marco De Felice, a missionary in Italy. You can feel free to copy and share this message, but please do not alter the content in any way. You can find other materials by Pastor Marco and more information about the ministry by visiting www.veravitaministries.org. That's www.veravitaministries.org.